All right, so hello, everyone. This week we're bringing you a different sort of show. This isn't the normal roundabout that you're used to. This isn't episode number 30. You could probably call it 29 and a half, maybe. But we should be bringing you episode number 30 next week, which will be, you know, a full-fledged roundabout that you're familiar with. Instead, this week we're bringing you a wrap-up of the New York International Auto Show, and we're doing something a little different here. We've got the largest group of people we've ever had before. I mean, we must have, what, two dozen folks here, Ben, at least?
I'd say three dozen, easy.
Well, I didn't want to overstate it. But if it's three dozen, it's three dozen. And, of course, you know, per usual, we're scattered all over the place. And the reason we're doing this is because of the Easter holiday. Ben and I were fortunate enough to get Good Friday off, which is, you know, obviously the normal recording day, Friday, for Roundabout. So we figured rather than dragging ourselves back to the office to record another episode and people are traveling, we figured we'd do sort of a special phone-in episode, sort of a different take on the show. So we won't have the normal segments. We won't have the normal, you know, blind spot or whatever story of the week. We're just going to kind of do a wrap-up of the New York Auto Show that just, I guess, wrapped up the other day. So, with all these people on the line, it might be a little crazy, but this is an experiment, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, it works out well. but I guess, you know, we can start introducing everyone that we've got on the phone right now, you know, kind of make it like your first day of sixth grade or something, where everybody gets in a circle and introduces themselves. So who wants to go first? Okay.
Michelle,
Ben,
it's you.
How about you? Michelle, introduce yourself.
This is Michelle Naranjo from page 829 in
Well, we're glad you could make it for the show this evening, Michelle, even though you will be taking off shortly, right?
Literally.
Literally. Apparently.
Physically, positively.
And then we also have another lady on the line, Suzanne.
Well, lady is a subjective term, but yes. I'm on the phone live from beautiful Philadelphia. Very happy to be here.
Wow. From Independence Hall, or?
Well, no. I mean, yes, for the sake of imagery, yes. I'm sitting in front of Independence Hall.
You got to sell this thing up a little bit. Come on.
Right. So in front of Independence Hall with a Ben Franklin doppelganger. Eating a cheesesteak. Are we happy now?
Yes.
Cheesesteak.
That sounds like the voice of our very special guest. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is Mud Monster, right? It's hard to tell over the phone.
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
Well, we're glad you could make it for this.
Thank you. I'm in northern Michigan today. That's where I am calling from.
Yes. How northern?
I'm not in the UP. I'm in the Lower Peninsula right now.
Okay.
Just visiting some family here.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you could join us. And then,
of course, we
have a couple regulars. We've got Jeff Ross.
Oh, he says he can't hear anyone anymore.
Okay.
He muted his headset again. So along with Jeffrey Ross, we're also joined by another Roundabout regular this afternoon, Eric Tritko. Eric, we're glad you could make it.
As always, it's good to be here. And, well, you know, you got to phone one in once in a while.
Yeah. And we were going to do this over talking, that internet phone in whatever, whatchamabob, but I guess it crashed or something. Ben, you tested it the other day, and it worked fine, and now nothing. So
I tested it yesterday, worked perfectly, and we've used this before. We used it for our roundabout, our Mario Kart get-together, but there you go.
Now it takes a dump on us.
Yeah, but
great.
We got it together.
Yeah, anyway, using the old Skype standby. And last but not least, I have to introduce Stephen Ewing from Autoblog.
A very pleasant good day.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, we're glad you could make it, and good job on the show last week.
Hey, thanks. It's a beautiful day out here in Ipsituckee, Michigan. I'm currently sitting in the bed of a Dodge Ram 1500 drinking a 40 of Milwaukee's Beast. And generally enjoying life with my shotguns.
Wait, is this Zach? Hold on.
You sure you're not in northern Michigan?
You'd be surprised. My neck of the woods is very similar to Zach's. Oh. Ours just don't have accents.
Or burnt crosses, probably.
Well, once you get over towards Willow Run, they sort of, the accents return.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
But most of them aren't U.S. citizens anyway.
As Eric will tell
you. Oh, God. So anyway.
Hey, I don't know.
I'm here.
Jeffrey.
Hello? I'm here, sorry.
What happened?
Are you using a rotary telephone?
Yes, I am.
He's at his grandmother's house. He's in the... Yep, Jeff Ross.
Be here.
Thank you.
And where are you calling in from?
Louisiana.
Say again?
Wow, Louisiana.
I'm joining you from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Very good.
That's the crawdad state, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think that's the proper term, but it sounds good to me, Craig.
Works for me. Well, glad you could make it on this Good Friday installment of Roundabout.
So we're all here to talk about the New York Auto Show.
So we're all gathered here today. We're going to do a roundabout wrap-up, that's a tongue twister, of the New York Auto Show. And we've had two of our guests joining us right now. We're both at the show. We're fortunate enough to make it out there. Stephen and Suzanne, what was it like? What stood out to you guys at the show this year?
You know, honestly, it's one of those things where as I look over the list of everything that debuted, this is one of the first shows in a long time where all the big debuts are production vehicles. There were no concepts, which is sort of weird because usually, you know, there's a lot of concepts. Though we have to remember that New York is a big consumer show, too. So okay. It sort of makes sense.
Okay. Well, what stood out to you vehicle-wise, product-wise? What was like what product caught your eye?
Oh, dude, CTSV Sportwagon hands down.
Really?
Well, just because they actually did it, and it's one of those things where like that's a car that we would refer to as like, you know, a journalist only want. Where, you know, it's probably not going to sell in high volumes, and GM doesn't really expect it to, but they still did it anyway, which is awesome. And, you know,
definitely.
There's something about the idea of, like, you know, a 550-something horsepower wagon with a manual transmission and rear-wheel drive that is just fantastic.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about that in a little bit when we get to some of the product. But, Suzanne, what vibe did you get from the floor of the show this year? Anything stick out to you?
Unfortunately, like I said, I spent a lot of time hanging around by Chrysler. And although the booth dude assigned to the 300C was very friendly, there weren't a whole lot of people over there to talk to.
I wonder why.
Hey, now.
Sorry.
Just saying.
I like the Jeep. No. Actually, I was on hand for the BMW press conference, just because I happened to be trying to snag some free coffee in the general vicinity when it happened. And I liked whatever that purple thing is that came out. I couldn't hear what they were saying. I didn't get to see it. I'm pretty much dead weight at this point for all intents and purposes. Steven, did you happen to catch it? Do you know what it was?
You're probably thinking of the Alpina B7
X5. Yes, that's it. And I sound like a total jackass right now.
That is one of, like, the most awesome cars I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, I think I saw somebody, there was somebody over there that was, like, tweeting by the BMW, and they said something like statutory grape, which I thought was hilarious. I don't know what it was in reference to, but I guess anything referencing felonies are funny.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you were at the Chrysler display most of the time. What did the Pentastar have to show off at the show? Anything particular?
Well, we had the Furious Fusion Challenger, which, you know, I know that would come under a lot of fire for it being really furiously pink, but it's not. You know, it's more magenta. It's really cool, actually.
That makes a big difference, then.
Yeah. Did I just hear somebody snort?
We'll blame Michelle.
No, I didn't snort. I'm drinking ice water. I put my phone on mute, I swear. If I snorted, I would admit to it.
Oh, it's okay. We did it, like I said, we had the Uconnect van, the Dodge Caravan Uconnect van, because we just launched the Chrysler Uconnect system. I'm not sure how much anybody has heard about it, but it's basically the response to the Ford Sing system. You know, it's the hands-free connectivity thing. And we had that out for a display. I don't think we had a press conference, and we definitely weren't giving away anything free, so there wasn't really anybody hanging out over there.
Suzanne, when did that start?
You got to save money where you can.
When did that start, or has it started showing up in vehicles yet that are on the road?
I think it's supposed to start halfway through this model year, if I recall correctly.
Cool.
Don't you like the new Uconnect and, you know, the Wrangler I had last week said Uconnect when I started it up. What's the difference?
Nothing as far as I know. I really know very little about Uconnect. We actually work for the media company that represents Chrysler, and sometimes we get press releases after everybody else does. So the first I heard of Uconnect was at the Chicago Auto Show. I don't think anything has changed as far as, you know, whatever you had in your Jeep. I think it's probably the same.
Okay, yeah, because the Ram I have this week has that in it, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as I know, it's all the same.
It's a good system.
I just like that.
Does it have a lady's voice or something else? Because that's what Ford uses, that friendly lady that lives in the dashboard, apparently.
And then Chrysler is also, didn't they just show off that they're going to put the Flow TV system in some of their stuff?
Yeah, Flow TV is option. That's an optional package. I think it is only available. It's going to start as only available in the Town and Country and the Dodge Caravan, and they're going to expand the reach. But don't quote me on that because I'm not entirely sure.
You see, the rest of the interesting stuff from Chrysler was out. The rest of the interesting stuff from Chrysler was out in Moab.
Yeah, my coworkers actually got to go out to Moab. I was a little bit jealous, but
geez, how'd you get Moab? That's the end of the stick.
Moab.
Sorry, what?
Moab. That's the end of the stick with you going to New York and everyone else getting to go out to Moab.
Yeah. Well, I think it was easiest for me to get up there since I live relatively close. At least that was the excuse that was given.
So not a whole lot going on for Chrysler at the show then.
No, I mean, like you said, it was mainly out at Moab, you know, all the Mopar stuff, the underground power wagon and the Jeep Immortal and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it looks like there were quite a few station wagons at the show. CTSV, obviously, as you mentioned, Stephen, Acura did the TSX wagon.
Yeah, the TSX wagon is one of those things that, you know, I'm glad that Acura is doing it because I'm a huge fan of station wagons. But they're calling it the TSX sport wagon. And while the TSX sedan with the four cylinder is fine, like it's a totally fine car, the wagon is only going to be offered with the four cylinder and only with the 5-speed auto. So there's no V6 option. There's no manual. And the other thing that I think could potentially hurt them in that segment is that, you know, Acura seems to think that the TSX is a worthy competitor for the Audi A4 and BMW 3 Series. It's what they've always marketed that car towards. But the TSX isn't going to have an all-wheel drive option because Acura won't put all-wheel drive in the TSX range. So as much as the TSX wagon is really cool, and I think it looks great, I think, you know, it's just really good, and I'm glad it's happening. It's kind of a disappointment is what I'm getting at.
But if I'm right, the European version of the what is known as the Honda Accord doesn't have all-wheel drive, right, also?
Right, but, I mean, the Euro Accord, too, also has, you know, you can get a whole host of, you know, diesel powertrains along with
that. Right, I know. I that's the kind of the thing that disappointed me. It's just like, where's the diesel?
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah.
Well, they were working on, this was maybe a year ago, they were working on their own clean diesel that they claimed would, you know.
Yeah, there was discussion about bringing the clean diesel over in the TSX or the Accord, but it never happened. Those plans were shelved.
And really, if they, to put the TSX up against like the A4 or whatever, it's just a fancy Accord, really, you know. It's not, it's never going to compete, I don't think.
I mean, I'll be honest.
Like you said, but
the TSX is really nice. It's got a great interior. It's really tech heavy, and there are a lot of people that really like that. And an interesting statistic that Acura pointed out is that the TSX has the most buyers under the age of 30 of any luxury car. So it's kind of, you know, I think it was smart for them when they started branding that car as like very entry level luxury. And that, I guess that's kind of what they're going for with the wagon too.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Captain F. Eliminated our
It does make sense in the
fighting off here. Let's talk about seated in the designated
it's not going to have the V6 is going to be the disappointing part of the station wagon.
Yeah, I mean, the V6 and the TSX, it's good as far as power is concerned, but the dynamics are a little off still.
What about?
Yeah, I'm kind of happy they're not putting the V6 in there into the wagon.
I wish they would at least offer the four-cylinder with the manual, because Honda has some of the best manual transmissions in the world.
Oh, God, the TSX manual is phenomenal. It's light.
Phenomenal.
It's very easy to use, but it's so precise. It's like an instrument.
Exactly.
Scalpel.
It's such an easy thing for them to do, because it's not like they had to re-engineer the TSX in order to do this car.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same wheelbase, it's the same engine and driveline and all that stuff. So I don't get why they just aren't making them with manuals as well.
Yeah. Who knows? It's probably some dumb corporate decision, whatever. Wagon buyers don't like manuals.
Yeah.
Research they did, whatever. But anyway, Subaru also showed off a couple cars at the show. They did with the WRX wide body and then an STI sedan. What's up with those?
From what I remember from being down there, it's just, you know, the STI has always had that wide body stance to it. Mm-hmm. And now they're putting that on the standard WRX, both in sedan and hatch forms. And then with the STI, this is the first time that it's going to be offered in two body styles. And the sedan STI is back, and it's got, you know, the giant wing on the back of it, like all STI
ironing board
have. Yeah, basically. And, you know, it still cuts off halfway through the rear view mirror like it always did. And that's basically the big news there.
Well, Subaru definitely needed to do that after Mitsubishi came out with the Sportback. I mean, because with that, Mitsubishi was going straight at the hatchback STI. And, you know, this is just a great way for Subaru to go back to the Lancer Evo.
Right. Well, the problem with Mitsubishi is they don't offer the Sportback as an Evo. It's just as a Rally Art, which is kind of a WRX competitor. So the STI hatch still has a bit of an edge, but a lot of people didn't like the STI as a hatch, and there were a lot of really kind of angry Subaru enthusiasts about it.
Yeah, I was kind of one of those people that did not like the hatch. I didn't think it looked good. It's grown on me, you know, since it's been out for the past couple of years. But when I first saw pictures of the sedan, it's like, yes, it's returned, the big wing.
Exactly. It's funny, in their press conference, they actually used the phrase, the wing is back, you know? but it's good because it shows that Subaru is one of those automakers that is really dedicated to their performance line, and they're, you know, they're really in tune with what their hardcore enthusiasts are saying, and, you know, they did it. They brought the wing back.
For better or worse. I can live with that, I guess. The wing. But in a much more stylish on a much more stylish note, rather, Hyundai had a whole bunch of news at the show, and Kia as well. Some news with the Sonata. We've known that the car was going to get a Turbo 4, no V6s, of course, for the new Sonata, the 2011 Sonata. It's all four-cylinder, and we finally learned what the, you know, some of the numbers for the Turbo 4, and they're pretty darn impressive. You know, what is it, like 274 horsepower, I think?
Yep, 274.
2-liter turbo.
Mm-hmm.
Direct injection, 269 pound-feet of torque. These are terrific numbers. And 34 miles per gallon on the highway, they're claiming.
Yeah.
That sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, I mean, we'll have to wait till it hits the street, but I think that Hyundai's probably got it down.
Mm-hmm. I'd believe it. I mean, I was in the Sonata for a couple days last week. Phenomenal car.
Yeah, it's a great car. And
I'm killing it lately.
Yeah.
What?
Hyundai's just doing such a great job lately between their designs, their powertrains. I mean, their timing couldn't be any better, too.
I'm frankly terrified of them. How quickly they've figured things out.
Well, you know, the other ones are going to have to watch then. Are Kia, Hyundai's sister company, because Kia has the new Optima, which is...
God, that's a good-looking car.
It's gorgeous. It's really, really pretty. And it's going to get the same powertrains as the Sonata. It's still going to have the naturally aspirated DI engine. It's going to get the turbo. And it's going to get, eventually, the same hybrid system that the Sonata is getting.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I love the way the Sonata looks, but that Optima is just a killer.
It's stunning. You know, it amazes me that, as far as I'm concerned, the Japanese cannot and have not ever designed, like, just a stunningly beautiful car. They choose not to do it, or they can't. I don't know. But then the Koreans are coming out with this stuff, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's an American and a German designer.
Exactly. I mean, Kia's lead designer is the guy formerly from Audi, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Here's the interesting thing. The hybrid Sonata was interesting, and it certainly has an interesting nose. But the mileage on it isn't anything to really get excited about. It's only like 4 or 5 higher in the highway than the turbo car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the gas mileage in between the Fusion and Camry hybrids.
Yeah. I think the real edge that the Sonata hybrid and is going to have over that is the price. I mean, they haven't announced pricing as far as I know, but you've got to believe that Hyundai is really going to work to make it cheap.
Like 27 grand or something like that?
I mean, honestly, if that.
Yeah, what's the Fusion hybrid start at?
I think it's 29, 30.
Fully loaded, it's 32.5, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think you can get one for, like 28 and change.
I've got to believe that Hyundai is going to do at least, like, 26.
Okay, 1 minute. When does the crane off electronic? I got to find out the guys after
one. Well, all right. You got to go, Michelle?
I got to go. You guys have a nice week. I'll see you next week.
Bye, Michelle.
Yep. Have a fun break.
Bye.
Yeah, happy Easter. Bye.
All right. Michelle had to leave early. Her flight was taking off. That's dedication right there. She's on the plane, buckled in. She's ignoring the safety briefing to talk with us.
Yeah, but that means she's one of those annoying people I hate on the planes that are on their phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Good comes with the bad. Yeah.
But is Suzanne still on the phone here? Did we lose her?
Okay.
We lost the
Oh, she had to go, apparently, if I look at the chat. Okay. All right, so we've lost Suzanne. But...
like flies.
Anyways, I wanted to say one thing about the Optima. When I first saw it, for some reason, it reminded me of a Jaguar, especially from the back end view.
Oh, yeah.
And right there, I mean, I was like, wow, this is just an amazing design. And
what do you guys think of the wheels? I think they're freaking stunning.
I think they're awesome. I'm so
I didn't think they're good.
They debuted, and I really honestly hope that it makes it to the street with those wheels.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love just a clean five-spoke, very simple wheel design. It's like my favorite. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the inverse of that, you know, where the spokes would be. It's punched out. It's a hole. And they've got another smaller set of five openings that go in the openings of the other five. So it's 10 spokes, but it's really cool looking. Check it out if you get a chance. Google it.
Yeah,
those of you listening to the podcast.
It's good stuff. I mean, Kia had a lot of good stuff at the show, too. It was the North American debut for the Sportage crossover, which we saw at Geneva, but they brought it here. And it shares a lot of design cues with the Optima. And it's a really good looking little CUV.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added a hatchback to the Forte lineup as well, just because the Forte was supposed to replace the Spectra, and Spectra was available as a sedan and a hatch, and now there's a Forte hatch, and it's pretty good looking, honestly.
I'm just glad they don't call it the Forte 5. I'm glad they're...
Yeah, but I'm almost wondering if that's going to happen before it hits the streets, just because
I can see it happening.
They still do Rio 5.
The Rio is a steaming turd, I'm sorry. Although it's probably a few exponentially better than the Aveo.
Well, everything is better
than
is
it? Aveo. A Yugo might be better than an Aveo.
Eric, I would rather drive your Ranger than an Aveo.
Yeah,
his Ranger has a leaking fuel line.
That's fine.
I'd rather drive a Yugo across the Mackinac Bridge.
Oh, the Ranger no longer leaks fuel, and yesterday I found a truck that was more of a POS than mine.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. I saw the picture of it. Oh, yes, it is.
Well, explain for our listeners then, Eric.
It was a early 80s Chevy stepside pickup truck, and it looked like the frame was broken behind the cab because the cab kind of tilted back, but the bed certainly tilted towards the cab quite a bit. There's about a 20 degree angle on it, at least, if not more.
It's a low rider, sort of.
That's awesome.
We'll have to put that on the roundup. Did you get a picture of it?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to
put that on the site then. Maybe we could, you know, do a reader sighting section, Ben, something like that. Quick post. But anyway, while we were on the topic of Hyundai and Kia, what is it, the Equus?
The Equus is kind of cool. It's essentially, you know, the way a Hyundai guy explained it to me once is that the Genesis is sort of the 5 Series A6 class, and the Equus is more of like the S-Class 7 Series. Not even so much those, more like Lexus LS is what it's going for.
But why? Hyundai doesn't need... I don't think they need it.
Why? Why shouldn't they have it?
Why? They sold how many Genesis last month? I mean, They're not.
Well, you have to keep in mind too, Equus was originally considered to be brought over when Hyundai was still considering making Genesis its own brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be the, you know, the sort of luxury and sport division of Hyundai.
I mean, I'm sure it's a terrific car. And in fact, Ben and I did a bunch of video shooting of one. The Hyundai brought one over to the office, and we did.
Yeah, I drove one over the summer. Okay. And it's great. It's, you know.
Is it S-Class great? Is it A8 great?
I don't know if it's A8 great or if it's 7 Series great. I've spent a lot of time in the 7 Series, and the Equus isn't up to that par. But, I mean, if you put me in that Equus and told me it was the new Lexus LS, I would have totally believed you. Mm-hmm. Hands down. And
that's probably deserves its own brand.
The amount of luxury and technology they've crammed into that thing, it's amazing, and it shows the dedication they're making to go right at Lexus and BMW, and I guarantee it's going to undercut.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, they haven't released official pricing yet, but they're saying that it's going to start between 50 and 60 grand, which is so cheap.
That's for a Hyundai. Like low 60s.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Are people going to pay that for a Hyundai?
That's the question that remains to be seen, though, is, you know, I think that a lot of people are still hooked on the idea of Hyundai as this cheap kind of shitbox company. When in reality, almost every vehicle of theirs that I've driven over the past 2 years has been really good.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I mean, Car and Driver, I remember, this is maybe 2 years ago, maybe longer, but they did a write-up on a Hyundai. I don't even remember what car it was, but they used the line, and it makes me laugh to this day. It's regarding Hyundai. It was something to the effect, Hyundai no longer builds the automotive equivalent of a disposable camera. It was something to that effect, which mm-hmm. perfectly describes.
No, but it's true. And
the way people think of them.
It's very true. And I mean, you hear it over and over and over again in the press of people talking about how, you know, Hyundai's on a roll and Hyundai's doing so well lately. And it's true. I mean, as much as a lot of people don't want to believe it, it's absolutely true. They're putting out really good product. I mean, Hyundai and Kia both, they're going to kill everyone essentially.
In 1989 or 1990, who would have thought that people would have paid, I think at the time, like $36,000 for a fancy Toyota called a Lexus or a fancy Nissan called an Infiniti?
Exactly.
You know, and their sales goals aren't that aggressive with this thing. I think they're only looking to sell like 2,000 or 3,000, you know, for a year for the first couple of years. It's more to build a halo and convince people that with the evolution of their brand that they are trying to, A, become more of a full range company, and B, that their quality, you know, is second to none.
Right. What's just going to be different about it is, you know, like you were saying, Toyota had Lexus come out and Nissan had Infiniti, but Hyundai is branding all of this under one name. It's all Hyundai.
But yep. You know, a car that good deserves its own luxury brand.
Right.
Screaming.
I just don't want the Equus to turn into the next Toyota Avalon, you know what I mean? Where you try to put a luxury car in a non-luxury brand, and it just fails. Because
what was the Mazda attempt at that?
Toyota made the Avalon fail.
The Millennium?
The Amante or something? I don't remember. It was something today.
Kia's got the Amante, which is basically like driving a couch.
Horrible car.
But yeah, Mazda had that Millennia for a while, and there was something else they were going to do.
I thought it was an A or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's really bothering me that I can't remember it.
The Mazda, you're saying?
Yeah.
It was like the early 90s we were talking about this.
No, it wasn't Millennia. It was a separate thing that they were working on.
This was like early 90s, if I'm thinking that correctly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they had a 929.
No,
rear-wheel drive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as I remember, they originally were going to launch millennia as its luxury brand. I'm pretty sure that's what they were going to call it. They were going to actually call it Millennia.
My only worry with the Equus right now is I'm worried it's going to turn out like the Volkswagen Phaeton here in the U.S., where it only sold so much and then gets canned within a few years.
Right. It was the Millennia.
Right. I think the difference between the Equus and the Phaeton, that's a really, really good comparison to make, is that the Phaeton was such a huge cost issue for Volkswagen because they were selling those cars for way more than they were worth. And the Equus, I think, is kind of a bargain compared to what else is out there.
I think it was like 60, high 60s just to get into a Phaeton.
Yeah, granted, you could get
probably
a Phaeton.
That was just to cover the ridiculous exchange rate and then shipping the cars over here and building them in a cathedral, basically.
Yeah, say in a glass factory.
Yeah, the glass factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Laser na manufacture.
Ooh.
How do you like that?
But no, I have high hopes for the Equus, and I mean, I hope it does well. I don't know if I'm in love with that name, but I hope that it's not going to turn into another Phaeton for Hyundai.
Yes,
that would be a huge dent in this really long line of forward progress that they've been making.
Yeah. What about
at the same time? It could help like remake the whole brand. I mean, you throw in the Sonata and all like the Genesis line, and then sooner or later, you can't talk any bad stuff about Hyundai at all. And who knows? It might be like somewhere in between a Toyota and a Lexus Hyundai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, tell me, Stephen, was this an April Fool's joke? That whole like iPad thing for the owner's manual?
No, this is absolutely serious.
That's
retarded.
Brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant.
This is totally serious.
They did into the nav system like BMW did with the 7. That makes sense. Not having this.
Where do you charge it? Where do you charge it in the car? Does it come with a cord in? You just plug it in?
I assume it just says that you know, just the Equus owners will be provided with a multimedia tablet instead of an owner's manual. They haven't announced which one. I mean, everyone thinks it's
iPad. iPad.
Right. But
or the Juju.
Yeah.
Yeah. Juju.
The tablet of the chosen people.
No, but I mean, they haven't announced, and as much as I would love to believe it's an iPad, God only knows, but no, it's they're serious. Like, that's actually.
But why?
All right,
it's
Craig.
Like, oh, it comes with a backseat margarita maker. It's like,
it comes with that too. The reason
that's a win for me right there. I'm buying it.
You can have videos built in to actually walk you through how to do things. Because, you know, if you ever looked at the owner's manual for something like an S-Class Mercedes, you need a freaking forklift just to get it out, and you can't find anything in there.
I like owner's manual. I think this is just the stupidest thing ever because, you know, you could
break something
and it's going to be costing you how much to, you know, to replace at your Hyundai dealer.
Right.
If they want to get rid of the paper manual, just put it in the nav system. Then you can search right there for whatever you want.
Well, then if you
want
to learn how to use the nav system, how are you supposed to do it? Because, you know, Hyundai's nav system isn't the greatest, I'll be honest.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest about it, too. The majority of people that are going to buy the Equus are going to be of the more elderly set, you could say. People that buy the Equus are going to be older people. And when I say older, I don't mean like 70. I mean, this isn't a Buick Concern. But I'm wondering, is the technology going to be too much for these people? I mean, regardless of age, is that owner's manual technology going to put people off for buying that car?
It's the iPad. It's so easy to use, allegedly.
Yeah, but...
shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but who knows? There could have been hate the iPhone because apparently it's a huge pain in the ass that it just isn't.
We'll have to wait and see. That's all we can do at this point.
If the Equus isn't a
decision to ship the tablet.
If the Equus isn't a good fit for something like this, what car would be?
The Apple car?
The iCar?
The iCar. Yep.
Mazda, diesel, something.
Yeah, they unveiled a new diesel engine that they say is going to be put into use in, quote, their next generation midsize car, which, I mean, Mazda 6. Sometime in 2012.
Cool.
And cool. The important thing about it is just that they're claiming it's going to be able to get up to like 43 miles per gallon on the highway, which, you know, that's better than all the hybrids that we're seeing in that segment now.
Mm-hmm. It's better than the Jetta, isn't it? And it's a smaller car.
Yeah, the Jetta, I think the
Maybe
Jetta
not better,
gets,
but it's pretty damn close.
Jetta gets up to 40, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think it's 40.
But I mean, it's pretty cool, and it's one of those things where most of the people I know in the industry all applaud this because it, you know, we're getting more diesels in America, and that's what's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of happy that diesel. Yes, I do. I'm kind of happy that Mazda is like, it's not another German company that's bringing out a diesel. It's not Mercedes. It's not Volkswagen. It's not BMW. It's a Japanese company. And that really shows that, you know, at least someone else is trying this.
Right. And, you know, they're going to put it in a car that is in a very high volume segment of the marketplace. So they're really just going to be shoving it in people's faces, which I think is what needs to happen with diesel to make it really work. It's to be exposed to a larger audience.
Mm-hmm. As long as they don't do a Paul Rubens.
Yeah.
Exposing themselves. But anyway, good for Mazda.
Yes.
2012. Just a couple years away.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's about two years.
Why not now? Is this like the Sky G?
I think it's the Sky D motor. I think that's what they called it when I was reading through their.
Sky D is their
diesel. D is gasoline, D is diesel.
And it's going to, they're going to made it to, they've got a new 6-speed auto coming out called Sky Drive.
It's kind of like, oh, go on.
But it's basically, that's just what it is. It's a new transmission, made it to a new engine, and they're.
A dual clutch.
You know.
See, I kind of heard that transmission could be a dual clutch, is what I've heard.
I could be thinking
of something else, though.
It wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you.
It's time for dual clutch. I mean, if Ford is mainstreaming them in the Fiesta, come on. Everybody else has got to be working on these two. Chrysler was showing one.
It's got to be dual clutch. I can't imagine that this isn't a dual clutch. So.
Yeah. And then Ford had an announcement with Microsoft, right? They're bringing them into the car.
Boring.
It's kind of
Microsoft lit. Home.
But
Steve Ballmer must have talked for 7 minutes and said zero, other than, I don't know, reading some Microsoft PR statement about how great they are.
Yeah, it was.
We're so awesome.
About what it was.
It was basically just Ford's way of saying, like, hey, sync wasn't all we're getting from these people. Check it out. We're going to do more. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of neat, I guess. But the same
thing, earth shattering. I mean, it's a way to monitor your home's electrical usage is what I gathered. I wasn't able to read the entire press release.
But no, that's what it is. And it's basically if you have an electric car that you need to plug in, that's going to work with home. And it'll basically charge your car during off-peak hours, just like it works with everything else. It's going to treat your car like one of your home appliances, basically.
Save you a little money.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. But then again, I mean, Ford needed to have something else to talk about aside from just the MKZ hybrid.
Yeah.
Which, that's, I mean, who didn't see that one coming?
The
only thing that would make me like think more of it is if they put a Landau roof on it with some light bars on the side.
Opera windows.
Exactly.
I'm just so worried that MKZ hybrid, because it's not that much different The only difference between it and a normal MKZ is just the powertrain. I'm just so worried that it's going to have the same repercussions that MKZ is having with the Fusion, where you can get a Fusion hybrid that is just as nice for a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people that are walking into Lincoln showrooms specifically, you know, if they do their research and go, oh, I can get leather and sync and power everything in a Fusion too. Oh, that's.
And I can get it for less?
Yeah.
I'm going to Ford dealer.
Exactly.
I'm going to think Ford first.
And it's why, yeah. If you look at the gas models, the Fusion is selling like hotcakes and the MKZ is struggling like the rest of the Lincoln line.
The I called the MKZ basically a Fusion in Hugo Boss clothes, most of what Steven's saying is right, and I said that in a couple reviews of Lincoln products. Is like, it's really nice, but I'm not getting the $15,000 premium over the equivalent Ford vehicle, whether it was the X over the Edge, the T over the Flex, and
The T has its own host of problems over the Flex, but we won't get into it.
I don't mind the styling. I actually don't mind the styling.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
He's a great vehicle.
It's a great vehicle. It's a wonderful
vehicle. The design, however, is questionable.
Yeah.
No, I don't even mind the design.
Do you guys, are you guys properly, you know, sighted? Like, can you see?
I can see.
Not a fan of the design, huh?
It's just... I'm sorry. I could go on for days about how ugly the MKT is, but I'll spare you.
Is it just the nose or the whole thing?
It's the nose. It's that weird hump in the belt line, and it's the back end too. So yes,
the back end that just kills it for me.
It's the whole thing. It's not just the front. It's the whole thing. But
that's how you really feel.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't argue with the fact that the MKT, especially with the EcoBoost, is such a good vehicle.
And even for a 5,500-pound car, it handles wonderfully.
Yeah, it handles really well, and it, it's so comfortable, and it's so nice just for, like, long, expansive highway cruising, for anything, really. It's really good. But
you could save $15,000 to $18,000 and get essentially the same thing in a Flex.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I have
more rear third row headroom, by the way.
Yeah, well, and then
that's what I'd be doing. I go down and get the Flex.
And that's what I feel like people that, you know, rationalize their car purchases are going to see the MKZ hybrid, and they're going to say, well, you know, it's a Fusion hybrid or a Milan hybrid for that matter. You're already in the Lincoln Mercury showroom. There's a Milan sitting right next to it that's cheaper.
Is the Milan even selling?
It's the classic example of, you know, badge engineering. You know, they're just
maybe this will boost their Milan sales.
They're fine cars, but they need to be.
They need to be different.
Different, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe the Milan starts selling like crazy now.
So I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll have to have you back on, maybe with Dolly and or Jason White. We can do a design chat about the MKT styling.
Ugh.
That might be interesting.
Ugh.
Stir up some vitriol. So I think that was just about everything we had on the list for today's show. Aside from, we might have missed the Nissan Juke.
Oh, yeah.
That?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
There's another styling crisis.
I just see pictures of that and I just shake my head. Why? Why did he?
I just think the designer was on crystal meth or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's well. If you disregard the front end, it's cool. The side, the rear three quarter views, those are cool. But if you
the interior is okay. The outside, no.
I think the back end of it is decent looking.
Why do they?
There's
need
a
it,
lot.
It's got the Cube and the Rogue.
Well, there's a lot of the rear end though that, if you look at it from certain angles, that reminds me of the Infiniti FX. You really have to get up close with it. I went to a Nissan dinner the first night I was in town, and they had one outside in a tent, and I was looking at it, and like you walk around the back and just like the way it's sculpted from left to right, like the bumper and, you know, like the little area above the license plate, it's really Infiniti FX.
Yeah.
And I think the back end of it looks good. I like the implementation of the, you know, 370Z style taillights. I like that the rear door handles are integrated into the pillar. Or, you know, behind the window.
I think what would really make this look better is just, you know, besides the front end being different, if it had, like, bigger wheels, it seems like it would be cooler with big wheels on it. As big as the fender flares are, it's almost begging for, like, 20s or larger.
Yeah, definitely. It's got a very concept-y look to it, and concept cars are always, you know, wearing 37-inch wheels, so...
Might actually make that car good-looking.
Scion also had a couple reveals that were interesting. They had the new TC, meh. But then the IQ, the Toyota IQ, they're branding as a Scion. That's kind of...
It's interesting. I like the thought of, you know, the engineering that had to be put into this. Mm-hmm. To make it as small and compact as it is, even though you have to have one of your friends be an amputee to get into the last seat.
Yeah.
I like...
It's only 79 inches. I mean...
Right. I like the IQ because it's kind of the same idea as the Smart for 2, but it actually works.
It's executed well?
Yeah.
And looks nicer?
Yeah. And it's usable. I mean, I've always said about the Smart that kind of car can exist in America if it's done right, and the IQ is done right.
Well, plus, the cool thing about the IQ is, A, you can call it a rebadged Aston Martin now.
Yeah.
And how cool is it going to be, like, when some aftermarket companies come out with kits that you can turn your Scion IQ into a Aston Martin Signet, however you pronounce it.
Whatever.
Me.
I would just paint mine in the golf color. So yeah, look at this.
Oh yeah, golf livery on the IQ, totally.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it'll be a cool little car, I think. But certainly better than the Smart, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think it'd be a lot better than the Smart.
I think a Radio Flyer wagon is better than the Smart car.
I think the Aveo is better than the Smart.
Oh.
Yeah, I said it.
Eric's Ranger is better than the Smart.
That might be pushing it just a little.
No, I don't think so.
Does your trans poor shift Eric smoothly?
Yeah.
Then your Ranger is better than the Smart. Can I fit things in your Ranger?
Sure.
Okay, it's better than the Smart. Do you want to kill yourself every time you drive your Ranger?
No. Yeah. Not currently.
That's why he doesn't
okay,
keep any sharp objects in his hand.
There you go.
Yeah. And with that, I think we can just about wrap things up.
Anything we missed?
On a happy note.
Anything we missed, guys?
Happy.
No. I think we're good.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good snapshot of New York. We lost a few people along the way here.
Steven, did you get a chance to eat at any good restaurants while you were there?
Honestly, both nights I ate at the restaurant that was attached to my hotel. But I had some really awesome hors d'oeuvres at the Subaru party. They had all sorts of good stuff. And, you know, we got to see the STI before they launched it.
Were the Subaru hors d'oeuvres served in little plastic cups normally associated with drinking sake?
No, they weren't, which is sad. No, the event was not as riced out as the car. But, you know, it was cool. It was a good time.
Well, I'd like to go there one year. We haven't made it out there yet, but...
Every time I go to the New York Auto Show, it rains. Except for the last day. The last day was gorgeous, but... When I arrived, it was like 50 degrees and pouring rain, and it was windy and cold, and I was, you know, huddled up in a Starbucks for a few hours, just clinging to the internet that was in there, and it was just sort of miserable. But the show was great.
Well, guys, I think that's that'll just about do it for this week's, well, quasi-episode of Roundabout. We'll call it 29 and a half, Ben. How's that sound?
Fair enough.
Okay, you weren't muted. Very good. You had to be worried there for a second.
Hey, before we go, we do want to remind people that coming up next weekend is our Mario Kart get-together. So we hope you can join us for that. That's April 10th at 8 p.m. That's a Saturday, by the way. Huh?
The ninth annual ROAB Mario Kart.
Yeah, let's make it the ninth.
Yeah.
It'll sound more distinguished that way. So there's details on our website. Just go to roundaboutshow.com where we've got a little post. You'll see Craig's delightful mug adorned with a toad mushroom cap. Yes, and he is the best. Here, I'll throw it up on the live webcast right now. There we go. Isn't that gorgeous? But you can give us your Wii number, and there is a Twalkin number there. Though we talked earlier in the show how much they screwed this up. We'll see if they get their act back together by the time it's time to do Roundabout next week. And if so, we'll all get on a group call as well while we do that. But do sign up for that, because we'd love to have you. Michelle will be there, and Jeffrey, I'm sure you'll be there, and Zach, and Steven, I hope you can join us if you've got a Wii.
I don't actually own a Wii.
Well, you can buy one. It's okay.
We can talk about video games another time, but I am really behind the times when it comes to that stuff. I have a Nintendo 64. Can I use that?
I think that'll work. Just get it close to the internet.
Sweet. Then I'll be there.
Good. So anyway, join us for that.
Absolutely.
But let's go around the horn and everyone, you can plug your latest project. We'll start with you, Jeffrey, because you're top in Skype. What's going on with you at autotropolis.com?
I just got the 2010 Camaro SS sitting in my driveway.
Nice. So.
Very good.
And I'm trying to drive the Mitsubishi electric vehicle, whatever they call that thing.
The IMAX?
Yeah. Apparently, it'll be in the press fleets later this month.
Cool.
That's about it for me on Autotropolis.
All right, Autotropolis for Jeffrey Ross. Steven?
You can always find me at autoblog.com, or you can look for my not necessarily automotive all the time updates on Facebook and Twitter. And because Jeffrey talked about it, I'm currently driving a $51,000 Dodge Ram.
What? Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. That's impossible.
My Ram has a heated steering wheel.
Are the floors lined with gold or something? I mean,
basically. And it doesn't
have a sunroof.
It doesn't have a sunroof. It's 51 grand, and it doesn't have a sunroof.
Well, the sunroof adds an extra $1,000, bringing it up to 52.
Right. So basically, I'm almost driving a $52,000 Ram.
Lucky.
So
but you could talk him down to 26,000.
Yeah, basically, with incentives, you could probably get it for about the same as an Aveo.
Ouch.
No, I love the Ram. I just want to say that because it, just in case Suzanne's still listening too, I love the Ram. It's really great. It's such a nice truck, and it obviously has Chrysler's best interior. So, Suzanne, if you're still listening, I love Chrysler.
Go Chrysler.
All right, William, what are you working on? I know you've started work for the Autobird blog.
Yes, my first column is coming up tomorrow at autobirdblog.com. It's all about Craigslist, so be on the lookout for that. And there will be also a new column coming out hopefully every Saturday. It's just whenever I get one out. You can also find me at Twitter, twitter.com/RealMudMonster, and just give me a follow.
Very good. Eric, what you got going on?
I was working, trying to get up to speed after the first week at blogs.webridestv.com and kind of
getting used to that. Rumblestrip.net still around. I kind of let that one go this week, but that's still there. And you can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/rumblestrip.
And let me correct you. It's blog singular .webridestv.com, right?
Okay.
I think, or maybe both work, but I thought it was, let me just check.
It is blog singular.
Yeah, yeah, blog singular. So find blog. Eric's newest right. stuff yep. at blog.webridestv.com. And of course, you can find all of our stuff at roundaboutshow.com, where you can subscribe via iTunes or Zune. Of course, Craig already did that, so I could probably take that button down.
Yeah.
What else we got there, Craig? We got the Roab Emporium.
Oh,
the
God,
fan
yeah.
t-shirts.
All kinds of great little kickshaws there you can buy yourself.
That's right.
T-shirts, mugs, stickers, hats and gloves. Well, no, maybe not hats and gloves. So I lied. But lots of good stuff.
Right.
Check it out.
Lots of good stuff. So
no, lots of great stuff.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Yeah, you're right. Let's not sell ourselves short here. But yeah, so thanks for joining us for the New York International Auto Show Roundabout Special. We'll be back next week with Roundabout Episode 30. We'll be back to the normal way of doing things. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good show. Aside from constant technical problems and people leaving, but hey.
Yeah,
and a plane taking off.
Yeah.
Everybody, please board the plane. Thank you.
To fasten your seatbelt, insert the metal clasp.
Good afternoon, this is the air captain speaking. We'll be departing. We'll be pushing back from the jetway in about 2 minutes, so.
We're currently 43rd in line for takeoff.
This plane has 6 exits, 2 forward exits, 2 over the windows, and 2 out the rear.
Put your own oxygen mask on
before
helping
others.
The sea cushion can also be used as a life vest or a flotation device, not a life vest.
The one that always gets me is put your head between your legs, and they don't say kiss your ass goodbye. But the thing is,
my head can't reach that far.
Yeah, if you crash and you're in that position, you're going to get your neck snapped. So I guess that's just so they kill you faster.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to die,
this is a tornado.
If you're in a plane wreck, I don't think it really matters what you do. You're going to die.
Hello.
Hi, Rich. You ready to go?
Not quite yet, unfortunately.
All right. Well, I'm hanging up with you, and we'll try and call you whenever.
Okay. Would you like me to...
Oops. Sorry.
Awesome.
Screw you.
I had an eager finger there. I'm sorry. All right.
You'll be ready when we tell you to be ready.
He can jump in the chat and tell us when he's ready.
Yeah, or if you see him come on Skype, maybe that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, okay.